Well, we started the year out by looking at some things that are important to us. Who we are, why we're here, what we stand for. And I'm still looking at the first one I was going to look at. I don't know, we'll look at more later. And I came across some things this week. I might just end up mainly sharing that. But what do we mean when we say we believe in the doctrines of grace? When we believe in the sovereign grace of God? You know, that's the only real source of comfort and peace that we had. This last week, I had somebody call me. He's going to the field from BIMI, and I started, he was going on and on. I said, wait a minute. I don't want to waste your time. You know, I said, we're Sovereign Grace Baptists. I said, you know what that means? And it was just kind of silence. I said, you know, we're those people. They warn you about those evil Calvinists. And he wasn't as abrupt as some of them, but he was ready to get off the phone. And people don't understand. Somehow they find comfort in thinking, I did something, I can do something. And I find that those people that did that, it was like they later on they're going, did I do the right thing? Did I say the right words? Do I need to go back and say it again? Do I need to? You know what happened on the cross? My Lord said, it is finished!
Right.
He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. I wasn't there.
Right.
But I was in Christ. And it was more than just being in the mind of God. I can't wrap my head around all this. But we, His elect children, were in Him before the foundation of the world. And He came and died on Calvary's cross. And He said, it is finished. We were in Him. He died for His sheep. He laid down His life for His sheep. And He said, He'll not lose one of them. Like I said, you read the Lord's prayers. Not the model prayer of the disciples. That's a good prayer. Read His prayers. He said, I pray for my sheep. He said, I don't pray for the world. You better deal with that. He knows those that are His. And He'll draw them all to Himself. And it's nothing in us. That's where the comfort, that's where the peace is. Folks, they chafe at the idea of what's called limited atonement. I sometimes prefer the term particular atonement, but regardless, Christ knew who He was going to die for, and He died for them, and He saved them. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, the angel told Mary. For He shall save His people from their sins. Didn't say He's going to try. He's going to really try hard to save everybody, but He won't be able to because they won't all let Him. You think you got to let God do something? He's going to save His people. He's going to bring them to Himself. And those that aren't, they'll go their way. And that's what they'll want to do. Just like He works in the hearts of His own people, He makes them willing. Well, I came across something in the context of this, and in light of where we are, I think I'll just share that with you a little bit and some of the verses we'll talk about. I spoke about folks, you know, who went before us. We stand in a line of people. You know, I didn't make up this stuff about sovereign grace and the doctrines of grace. It's from the Scriptures. And the Lord taught this and impressed this upon His people through the ages. Our Baptist forefathers believe this. Most people call themselves Baptists today don't believe this. But our Baptist forefathers believe these. The Lord taught them. These are the things the Lord taught to His disciples. Go through the Old Testament. You want to see the sovereignty of God. one of the old brothers, and I think he died when I was about 3 or 6 or something, so I never met him. But he's been an influence through the years on many folks, and the Lord taught him some things, and I think some things that we can share. I don't mind giving you a quote from somebody who's smarter than I am and probably more spiritual. And then we'll look at some of the verses he points out, which is in the context of what we're talking about here. Brother Arthur Pink. And I remember some churches people used to like, some of them like Pink, but they said, you got to be careful because he's Calvinist. You know, or they do the same thing with Spurgeon. Some of them tried to deny Spurgeon as a Calvinist. Well, he would call him a liar. Not that Spurgeon was perfect. I got some issues there myself. But regardless, Brother Pink said this, and then we'll go back and look at those verses a little bit, and it all fits into what we've been talking about. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll go back and look at the verses he cites. He says, he not only chose you before you chose him, and loved you before you had any love for him, but acted upon you before you acted toward him. He had to speak the quickening, which is making alive. He had to speak the quickening word before you could come forth from your spiritual grave. Open your blind eyes ere you were able to see your lost condition. Change your heart before you were disposed to seek him. And draw ere you came to him. Thus you have no ground for boasting. Nothing for which you can take any credit unto yourself. You hear these folks say, I decided to get saved. God decided to save you. Anyway, let me finish this quote. Thus you have no ground for boasting, nothing for which you can take any credit unto yourself. All the glory of your salvation belongs alone unto the Lord. Brother, that's the message I've got. Yeah. It's nothing you did. It's nothing you could have done. You get no glory. A missionary called me on the phone. He was like, you know, when I got saved, I didn't get, a lot of times I just let him go on for a while, but I hate that terminology. It's not missionary. I got saved. It's like, you know, I got COVID. You know, no, God saves you. It didn't just happen. Well, I'm God. No, God saved you. It's a direct act of God. And I think that's kind of like, I got saved. That's kind of like I was talking this yesterday when I was running the line at the range. And you know, some issues came up between the guy who runs the match and his wife. And they didn't have the slips and stuff. And they were like, well, mistakes happened. I said, what does that mean? People don't like to take credit for anything. Mistakes happened. Say, well, passive voice. Nobody's responsible. Things happen. Oh, you do things. Or better yet, or more importantly, God does things. Say, so God did things. That's what Brother Pink is pointing out here. He was a great prolific writer. And, we'll look at what he said here and look at a couple verses and probably wrap it up for this week. He says, he not only chose you before you chose him. That verse I've pointed out so many times that it just sticks in my head where the Lord had his disciples together. And he said, boys, sit down. I want to tell you something. You know, they're all thinking about, well, I remember when I decided to come to the Lord. I remember when Lord said, boys, I want you to sit down. I want to tell you something. John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me. People say, try Christ. I hate that. Try God. Is that God something like you put on a coat and try it and see if it fits or not? Lord said, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He chooses us unto what he's intended for us, to go forth and to do what he's intended for us to do. But he chose us. I've chosen you, he said. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So he not only chose you before you chose him, and Brother Pink goes on and says, and loved you before you had any love for him. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. I remember even when I really didn't have the doctrines of grace sorted out in my mind, and people would say, well, just believe. How does somebody do that? You just start to believe. You didn't believe, and then you just start to believe. You do this. You do that. And then God will take it. No. You have to have the faith of Christ imparted. And before that, you have to be made alive because you're dead. Dead man. Just believe. Just believe, dead man. Just take that first step. God's going to do the rest. But the problem, he's dead. I give you that illustration I often use of the fellow I put at the bottom of the well. There's a fellow down at the bottom of the well, a deep, deep, dark, slick sides. Very deep. No way to get out of there. And there you throw down the gospel rope. You throw down the rope. And he said, grab the rope and I'll pull you up. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. The guy at the bottom of the well, he's dead. He's dead. He can't grab that rope until God first makes him alive.
Amen.
And when God makes him alive, he opens his eyes and he says, I'm in a terrible fix. I need a Savior. That's what happens, in essence. And the Lord uses us, you know. He opens his eyes. He gives him life. And he allows us at times to bring a little bit of light to where the Holy Spirit's already given life. That he sees the object for that faith that he was given, his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Preacher has nothing to do with regenerating anyone. My preaching has nothing to do with regenerating anyone. It can't waken up a dead soul. Oh, I got ahead of myself. That's not strange, is it? He not only chose you before you chose him and loved you before you loved him, but acted upon you before you acted toward him. He had to speak the quickening or the making alive. He had to speak the quickening word before you could come forth from your spiritual grave. And Brother Pink cites one passage I love too. In John 11, where the Lord's outside his friend's grave. Lazarus is in there. He's been dead. He's been dead for days. And his sister saying, "Don't go up there, Lord. He's dead. And he'll stink." And the Lord said, just wait a minute. John 11, verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" Lazarus was dead. You and I can stand out there and scream all day for Lazarus to come forth, and he'll be laying in there dead. But the Lord says, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he that was dead came forth. bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. And that's a picture of how the Lord imparts spiritual life to his elect. Says Hal Eddy. Experiences are different, you know. Paul's on the road to Damascus. Boom! John the Baptist was still in the womb. I don't know what all transpired there, but he recognized his Lord. Some folks get all caught up in the experience. If you didn't have the exact same experience I had, well, then you must not be saved. You better go back and get that experience. It had nothing to do with the experience you had. It has to do with the life-giving Lord. Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth. He had to speak the quickening word before you could come forth from your spiritual grave. Open your blind eyes ere you were able to see your lost condition. Change your heart before you were disposed to seek him. He had to give you life. He had to open your eyes. Dead man can't receive these things. Paul says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. He looks at that and says, that's crazy. He can't receive those things until he's given spiritual life. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but God brings those that are his to himself. Jesus Christ will not lose one. I don't know who all his elect are. I can't tell by looking at them. When I used to work in banking, sometimes you'd come and somebody would want to do a transaction with something or whatever, and they'd bring in a check, and you'd go back to the head teller, and you'd say, well, he looks like an honest man. And she'd say, what does an honest man look like? You know? What does one of God's elect look like? Especially before he's quickened him and given him life. He may look like a persecutor and one who imprisons Christians and is consenting to their death like Paul was. I've said so many times, you know, if we've been back there, I know if I've been back there and knew Saul of Tarsus before the Lord intervened on the road to Damascus, I'd say that fellow's a reprobate. He's going to split hell wide open. He was one of God's elect. Paul says there's one that was born out of due time. As we were studying in Galatians, you know, when it pleased the Lord to reveal these things to Paul. I don't know his timing. But my job's not to get people saved. My job is to proclaim God's truth, to proclaim, not offer, the gospel. And those who've been awakened and enlightened, it's like that man who at the bottom of the well is made alive, and he's going to grab that rope. But long as he's down there dead, that rope means nothing. As I'm out there, just a poor human like me standing outside Lazarus' grave and yelling at him to come on out, not going to happen. John 6:44. Lord said, no man can come to me. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. And then the bottom line for all this, why we the Lord's taught it to us, but what the doctrines of grace do is to give glory where it belongs, is to glorify God for what he's done and not for what I've done. I made a decision. I made a choice. I decided to get, no, God did. Brother Pink closes, says, thus you have no ground for boasting. Nothing for which you can take any credit unto yourself. All the glory for your salvation belongs alone unto the Lord. What was it Jonah that said, salvation is of the Lord? Well, that's why we proclaim these things, because the Lord's been pleased to teach them to us. Because they are the only things that properly give glory unto Him. All the glory belongs to Him. All the glory for your salvation belongs to Him. And all these methods of men and the Arminianism and do this and do that, God's going to make a deal with you. Come on down. I'll tell you what you got to do. I heard a supposedly sovereign grace preacher say that. Supposedly sovereign grace preacher. And he was preaching to a whole group of preachers. Anybody's not saved here? Come on down. I'll tell you what you got to do. What? If Christ didn't do it when he said it's finished, it ain't going to get done.
Right.
And if he did, there's nothing you can do. It's that simple. And yet, so complicated it seems. Okay, we'll take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 204. Footsteps of Jesus, number 204.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where the good friends falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Though they lead o'er the cold dark mountains, sleeping in sleep, or along my Siloam's mountains, melting footprints of Jesus that make the pathway go. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. If they lead through the temple, holy preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway go. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Then at last, when Almighty sees us our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at His throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway go. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever we go.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and the privilege. together as your people. Father, we thank you for the preserved truths in your word. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you've accomplished. Or that you undertook the salvation for your people. And Lord, thankfully, none of that was dependent upon us. Lord, may we ever give you all the glory. Father, I thank you for each one that's here. Pray your hand upon them as they make their way home, that you keep them safe. Father, we pray that you might be pleased to use us. Lord, we know that you've saved us, not just for our own pleasure, but to bring forth fruit, to show your glory. Father, we pray for the grace to do that. Lord, we pray for discernment. We pray for courage. We pray for strength to stand in what seems to us to be difficult times. And yet, Lord, we know compared to what you endured for us, that it's nothing. Lord, as you had the wrath of the Father poured out on you for every one of our sins, a wrath for which we deserved eternal condemnation and punishment. Father, we can't comprehend that. But Lord, we thank you that you made your people recipients of that atonement. We thank you, Lord, that in time the Holy Spirit gave us life and opened our eyes and our ears and brought us to hear the gospel of our salvation and to embrace our Savior. I thank you, Lord, for the continuing peace that gives us as we contemplate your sovereignty. Lord, we just pray that you keep us faithful. Help us to be those servants we ought to be. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.